Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out at the Basement East in Nashville, Tennessee with my friend Devin. Devin, how are you doing?
Doing great, man.
Killer. Really good. Devin is from Powell Bear. Powell Bear is awesome. If you guys aren't familiar, they're great. Check them out. Devin, tell me about your guitar right off the bat.
All right, so this is my number one. I've been playing this for a couple of years. It's an ESP LTD AB7. It's an Alex White signature from Whitechapel. Sorry, not Whitecastle. I just love the way the thing plays, man. And I'm not particularly familiar with the band's music so much, but it's one of the best playing guitars I've ever tried.
How'd you get hip to his specific signature model? Now that you've been with ESP for a while, you've had the Vs, mm-hmm. seen with the Mustaine V, seen with very other ones. So what made you jump from that V, and then how did you land up on this specific signature model?
Right, so I really dig seven string guitars, yeah. And also baritone models, and I didn't want to switch to a full baritone seven string right off the back. So this one has kind of a reduced scale. It's like a half inch shorter than your typical baritone, and we play a lot of big chords.
Yeah, so you guys have huge chord shapes.
It makes it a little easier to play for an hour and a half if we have to do that. So really it's just kind of that, just the way it's really balanced and everything.
Cool. Were there any other guitars that you tried out from ESP that kind of during that transitional period that you, before you ended up on this one?
This was just the first one. I looked at the website, I'm like, let's give this one a shot, and it was great, so.
Killer, man. And anything you do to it, pickups are in it?
Yeah, these are wound by a guy named Alex Avedisian.
Okay, yeah.
Avedisian pickups out of Atlanta. He used to be, I know he was around Nashville for a while, but he's in Atlanta now, and he builds some of the best pickups I've ever heard in my life. And he's, everything that I play is his pickups.
So. What do you like about this particular set? Like, what are they, maybe to give a reference to people, like where do they like sit maybe in the windings or like how hot they are, or maybe a comparable other humbucker that people know of?
I'm trying to think, man. They're a little hotter than your typical like vintage humbucker, but really they're kind of a little more vintage voice, which is kind of what I prefer. Like, I don't like to do the super hyper metal scoop sound. I like to have plenty of, you know, mids and round low end too. So these are kind of voice like you're a little hotter than you're like maybe a 57 vintage or like a Gibson or something.
Okay, yeah. 57 classic
these,
or something.
Yeah, these in particular, this one is based kind of around a 57 classic. It's my favorite Nick, so.
And so you don't run particularly hot pickups, which is surprising to hear because you guys play loud, you have dynamic parts throughout all songs, but generally it's pretty heavy and pretty sludgy.
Yeah.
So yeah, you normally would think EMGs or active pickups are something real hot, and that's not the case, huh?
Those are cool, but not for me, I don't think. I don't think these come with EMGs, but my number two back there still has them in. I just got them, and they sound good, man. I'll probably play it tonight. I'm not anti-active pickups or anything, but these are the best that I've ever heard by a lot, so.
Killer, man. Is there anything else you've done to it to get it, kind of make it your own instrument?
No, man, everything else is stock, so far as I know.
And what about strings and string gauge?
Yeah, these are custom wound strings. String Joy is the company that makes these.
All right.
And my low is a 62, and then it's kind of like a 52 to 10 standard set.
All right.
So.
And what do you tune to with the baritone and longer scale? What are you guys actually in tuning wise?
So me and Brett now use two different tunings. Okay. Brett's in drop A on the sixth string. What I do is I just take your standard string or seven string tuning, I drop this down to an A from a B, and then I've kind of just made it work with my tuning. So like it's all it is this is just dropped down to an A.
And essentially the rest of it are just in standard?
Yeah, just standard from here down.
Killer, man. Well, let's talk about the second one here real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
While it's sitting there looking all handsome.
I got this in maybe 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And I think these are just about to be released. They just sent this to me, and I'm super stoked about it. It's got an Evertune bridge.
Oh, man.
Which I'd never tried before.
Devin Townsend, we just did one with him, and he loved it.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's awesome. I was worried because, you go online and you read that you lose nuance and vibrato, and none of that's true, man. It just stays in tune no matter what you throw at it.
Killer.
I mean, you could drop this thing, and you could, 32 degrees below zero, and it would stay in tune, which is pretty awesome.
Awesome. And what is it's based on the Eclipse model, but what makes this so specific that you said it's just coming out? Is it because it's coming with the Evertune stock?
The Evertune and the seven string
version. Oh, okay,
version,
yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
All right, man, so amps. I know that you've been an Orange guy for a long time, so walk me through what you got here. Yeah.
If it were up to me, I would play Orange until I die. I love them so much. I've got two different Rock Reverbs going here, a Mark II and a Mark III, and I run a wet-dry dual mono setup. This is all the modulation and everything, and I blend this in for clarity.
And they're both blaring at the same time.
Yeah, they're all going. This is like kind of 75%, and this is in there around 25%.
What do you hear differently between the two versions that you actually have? You know, have that Mark II and the Mark III. Like, what do you hear tonally that they switch to the III?
The clean channel is the biggest thing for me on the Mark III. I really like it. It's a little butterier sounding. I've heard comparisons of Vox versus Fender kind of, EQs, but I really think they kind of sound, their own their own kind of thing there. I prefer the dirty channel on the Mark III. It's got a little more girth.
Do you use that then, or do you use dirt pedals too?
No, I use this. It's just all dirt from the amps.
Oh, all
right.
Then
I'll throw like an overdrive, you know, every once in a while for a lead or something, but it's all the amps.
All right, and what do you got for speakers and speaker setups?
This one down here is kind of a Frankenstein. I think there's like one original Celestion in there. But this one is a Jensen Electric Lightning,
all right.
I think, speakers. And this one, Eminence, the Governor.
What kind of cab is that? It's
this
sleek.
One, yeah, I just got it. It's like a cheap Avatar. I got it off Craigslist, and I just wanted to try the setup. I hadn't done a wet-dry thing on tour, so I just...
And this is your tonight first show, right, on this run?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You'll find out tonight if you can take it or not.
Yeah. Well, actually, we did three shows a couple weeks ago, and this thing sounded pretty good. Like I said, it's not really even in there a lot. It's just kind of to blend in.
Yeah.
You know, some clarity.
Before we pivot to the pedal board, I see something lurking on your board that we'll get a photo of it here, but what's up on top here?
So this is a... the amp detonator. It's made by Orange. It's just a splitter, and it's got a phase switch, and both of these have buffers, which is really cool. Like, I try to keep as many buffers as I can around. I'm a big buffer fan. And yeah, it's a really well-built pedal, just a standard AB phase inverter thing.
Just don't want to have any questions about like what's that behind the amp. I saw this and Devin didn't talk about it, so covering all the bases. Pedal board, man, it looks like you got a pretty decent setup.
Yeah, man, I'm real happy with it. I'm kind of obsessed with changing it and giving myself headaches as often as I can. I guess the brain here is the ES8, the Boss, and it's changed my life since I've had it, man. I don't know how I went so long without having some kind of switcher. I'm terrible at doing the tap dancing thing, and we tend to do a different, a lot of modulation and stuff. So,
which I love. I love that about you guys.
Yeah, so this has allowed me to kind of not lose balance on stage. I can program every sound that I want, kind of, and it's been awesome, man.
What was the final straw that made you pump? You're like, all right, I gotta change my life and get a switcher of some sort. What was the final straw?
A plea for understanding on our last album. Yeah, trying to pull that off live, it was trying to, take delay and reverb off at a chorus and go heavy here. Like, it was just too much to do, so now I could just hit one button and everything's customized to that particular part of the song every night, so it's great. I can focus on playing instead of this, sometimes terrible mothership lurking beneath me, kind of sending signals up.
Well, quickly walk me through what you got here and kind of what you're using it for, maybe songs that these boxes apply to.
Yeah, nothing too wild. I've got the Big Sky just for all my reverbs. I'm hoping to kind of incorporate the spring reverbs from the amp. I just haven't really yet. For delays, I use the El Capistan and the new DD500. I prefer the tape sound on the LCAP, and that's my favorite kind of delay, so I keep that on.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get my like analog and digital stuff from the DD500. And then my fuzz stuff is the Hoof. That's been on kind of all of our boards forever, and I'm really into it. I just got the Empress Pair EQ. I don't know how I went so long without an EQ pedal. At the start of my board, you can just totally just like, I like to kind of keep everything set on here about the same, and then kind of tune the room with that, or just, mostly to clarity. I don't really know what I'm doing, just whatever kind of sounds
whatever
good.
Whatever sounds good, yeah.
Yeah. And that's really it. I've got the MOSFET Full Drive 2 for now. I'm constantly switching up overdrives.
Yeah, I've seen you with the OCD from Fulltone. I've seen you with that.
Yeah, I do all kinds. I mean, it's my favorite pedal to collect. And then, like the Phase 95 is really awesome. It takes up almost no real estate, and it sounds great, so.
What's going on in the beginning of Dancing to Madness, that intro there that's kind of modulated? What's going on there?
Yeah, so that is, I got a little bit of, the Ola is in there, and then I've got some tape delay from the LCAP, and then a little reverb from this guy. And then when I switch to the lead sound, like David Gilmour thing, that's just the analog delay on the DD500, and a little bit of chorus, and that's really it. And, there's not a whole lot going on. It's just finding pedals that sound really, really good.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
It's almost getting inspired by those sounds almost.
Oh, and also like the biggest thing that's also been a lifesaver. At the bottom of the board, I have a Zuma, which is connected up to this Ojai. I've been meaning to mount that. So all of the stuff is powered by Strymon, which has been awesome.
Nice.
We've been in like, Europe, Australia, all these different places that have different kinds of, power, and it converts it internally with the Strymon, so you don't have to worry about transformers and everything and power down.
Damn,
so
yeah.
It's awesome, man. It's been road tested, and I love them.
And I see you got is that a compressor on the end here?
Yep, I keep that running the entire time, just a little bit for a little help for the sound guy or sound person, I guess. And
it's kind of an unusual thing that I would see on a metal board.
Yeah.
It allows like this compressor.
Yeah,
it's a noise gate, not a compressor. So why do you got the compressor?
Mostly I could dial down my gain on my amps and still get that sustain, so I like to get as much clarity I love the seven strings, so I can ring out, you know, all seven strings to make a big chord. So the compressor allows me to like turn down the gain as much as I possibly can and still have all of that. So
one last question is, what goes on during the middle of the solo in Watcher in the Dark? There's some madness that happens, and how, if you guys do play that, how do you recreate that?
We haven't played that one in years, actually, and whenever I do it, I just kind of, I go into manual mode on here and then just kind of click stuff. When we recorded that, Brett and Joe were on their hands and knees, and there was probably a train of like 10 or 15 pedals, and they were randomly turning them on and off, so we all kind of composed that solo. I can't take
it. It makes sense now that I hear that story behind that song. It makes sense, man.
Yeah.
Killer, dude. Well, I'm going to talk to the rest of the guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
All right, we're in the, I guess, center stage now. We're talking to Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Thank you for doing this. I know that there's a bunch of bands behind us, but we'll get through it as quick as we can. I don't see the Guild, man. Where is it?
Man, I had to take the Guild out of commission because it started to get like a stress fracture on the neck, mostly because I wasn't treating it well enough. I probably didn't really have a whole lot of business taking it on the road to begin with.
Yeah.
And it really and truly, like, the P bass has always been the number one thing for me. Yeah. So I had the opportunity last year to start working with Fender.
Oh, great.
Which is like a dream for me. I like always loved the P bass more than anything else.
Yeah.
I've played a lot of different stuff over the years, so.
Awesome. And will the Guild still be like a recording tool, or is that kind of just done?
I'll probably use it here and there. It's great with flat wounds on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll probably, on tracks that, because every now and then we have something that needs a little bit of a
different
tone
vibe
to it, so I'll probably just keep it for studio stuff.
Killer, man. So we'll look to hear it in the future, but maybe not see it.
Yeah.
Tell me about the specific P you got here.
This is my most recent bass acquisition. It's a Fender American Professional series.
Yeah, it's a new one.
That came out last year. Man, it's so great. I love it. Really, it's like ultimate P bass for me.
Is there anything you've done to it to make it kind of your more Joe?
You know, honestly, the only thing I've done is I stuck the Avedisian pickups in it.
Okay.
I took the pickups that were stock out, even though they sounded really good.
Yeah.
Alex, that does Avedisian pickups, mm-hmm. Custom Wines pickups for me, and I was like, I got to hear his pickups in this bass, and it's been
killer.
Yeah. It's great.
Do you know like any particular bass or era of maybe pickups that they're kind of modeled after, or what you're kind of the tone?
Well, yeah, totally. I asked him just to make me like John Wetton.
Oh, really?
So
from King Crimson.
Yeah, yeah. The tone on Red, especially, is like what I've been chasing my whole life.
That's
so
awesome.
I was just like, hey, if you can make me pickups that I can make work to sound like this, like the bass tone on Red, that was
killer,
my goal.
Man. Is that maybe an homage then?
Oh yeah.
Oh right. That's
totally
a perfect segue.
Is. Yeah, this is my Wet and Wild P bass right here.
Killer.
Yeah, it's totally an homage.
Have you had it for a while? Is this one?
Yeah, actually, I think I got that one 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, right.
It's been like the anniversary of me getting it has happened really recently because it came up on my social media like a
one of the
memories.
Yeah.
You know, memory from 7 years ago. Yeah, I've had that one for a minute. I love it because it's got the bird's eye maple.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll get the back of that. Show
neck,
people.
Which I can't find another Fender because this isn't a special one. It's a Mexican-made Fender
Weird.
Standard P that has a bird's eye maple neck for some reason. Never found another one like it.
That's cool. So, how did you get it? How'd you score that?
Man, I actually just bought it off eBay. I was just like sitting at work, wasting time one day. Like
we
just,
all do.
Yeah, just you know, looking at gear that I didn't have any business buying.
Yeah.
And I just like saw the picture of it and was immediately like, I've got to get that. There was just something that spoke to me immediately about that bass.
Well, John Wetton.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think that originally crossed my mind. Like I just saw it and it was like love at first sight, pretty much.
Killer, man. And so, to wrap this up on the bass side, what do you got for strings?
I use Stringjoy strings. My heaviest one is a 140. It's like 140, 105, 85, and 65.
All right.
On there. So they're pretty chunky for a four string, but I like to bend the hell out of my strings. So.
Which is funny because you, on the old Guild, I've seen the videos where you would say that you use lighter strings.
Yeah, I like.
I
did that.
Half wounds?
Yeah, I had half wounds on there. I just kept running into trouble with stuff going out of tune all the time. I finally just caved and was like, you know, I can do this, but should I? You know, probably not. So I finally caved and started using like really like like five string, like gauges basically. But
killer, man. And yeah. What are you running through?
I've got a Varelin Meat Smoke as my main amp these days. All I really have to say about the Varelin is it's incredible. I've played a bunch of stuff.
I've seen with an acoustic and Fender. So how did you end up with the Varelin?
I finally just told myself, I was like, instead of, I guess, kind of playing roulette with an amp, like vintage amps and stuff, like yeah. They would always break on me when we were on tour and we're on the road so much that like I needed something that I could rely on. And I was just like, well, this is like the best amp that I can think of that's being made right now. It's like the like output transformer is like as big as my head pretty much.
Yeah, like, it's heavy, man. There's double
handles
on it.
There's no way I can blow this thing. Surely. Hasn't happened yet.
Has Brett or Devin ever run guitar through?
Yeah, well, we actually, we used the Varelin for some guitar tracks on Heartless.
Oh, killer.
It sounds as good with guitar as it does bass. It's like pretty much, I mean, I'm sure that I'll go out and buy other amps,
yeah.
But that's, I mean, it does everything I wanted to do, so.
Perfect, and it's not breaking down on you.
Yeah, it's a beast.
To knock on wood quick for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, seriously. Like.
Still moving over to the pedal board, what we got here?
All right, so I've got a bunch of stuff on here that I'm actually planning on phasing out pretty soon. I've got this Dunlop volume, but I'm starting to have a little bit of noise on the sweep on
yeah.
it. So that's probably gonna go pretty soon. But I've got this Electron analog drive.
That thing is huge.
It's huge, but
it's size of an iPad.
Yeah, it also like has a huge amount of sounds on tap. It has like the eight different drive circuits in it that you can use, which I honestly am probably not even utilizing it even close to what I should be, but I'm planning on getting the same, getting like a Boss ES5, so then I can like have a little bit more control over the MIDI aspect
yeah, yeah.
of it.
Less headaches.
Then I've got an Earthquaker gray channel on my board right now. I've got a Tronographic Rusty Box that I actually just put on the board. I had been using a Idiot Box, Blower Box, it's a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
But we're playing a new song on this run, and I kind of wanted to have a little bit more like classic 90s bass tone, so I threw this on there instead of the Blower Box for these next few shows. Then I've got my Moog analog delay. And
which I love that you use a bit delay on bass. It's not something you see very often, but
yeah,
that's rad.
I've got an expression pedal for it here. I've got my Old Blood Noise Endeavors Reflector, which is a new chorus that they came out with pretty recently, I think, which is cool. It has some like doubling, tripling, and quadrupling effects that I haven't found in other choruses. And then just your basic Boss tuner, and then I have a Strymon Ojai powering a lot of it.
So. For some of your like the heavier or the dirtier stuff, for like you particularly go into like a Peter Steele almost typo negative tone. What
yeah.
are you using to get going there?
Man, I actually have a different configuration of pedals that I usually use when we're doing the Peter Steele thing, or when I'm doing it. I'll use a Earthquaker Cloven Hoof and a chorus pedal. But the songs that we're doing on this run we're not doing any of the ones
gotcha.
That kind of need that tone, so I swapped some stuff out.
And maybe it's not on this run also, in terms of the set list, is Devoid of Redemption. What happens in that, like, just the destruction?
It's just balls to the wall the entire time. I'll kick on, like, one thing that's cool about the Varelin is it has two channels, so
I've got my channel two down
yeah,
there.
I've got my channel two that add an extra layer of nastiness.
Yeah, it's clearly it says, yeah.
Yeah.
You know you're stepping on when
yeah.
it says that. Well, Joe, dude, and
hey.
Talk to Brett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Last but definitely not least, Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent, man. Thank you great. Again for doing this. I know we're got up against it with time, so dive right into it. Tell me about this PRS.
This is a PRS Vela. It's been on and off my like main guitar for the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years. I had another one that got stolen a while back, and then, so luckily it was replaced. So yeah, that's usually my main one. It's not a baritone, but it stays in tune really well, so.
What do you think? Devin was saying, drop A?
Drop A. Devin plays in a slightly different tuning because he has the 7-string,
yeah.
so he's just got standard and then the drop A, and then this is A, A, D, F sharp, B, so.
It's heavy.
Yeah, it's down there.
How did you get to the, well, the PRS family specifically, but the Vela? Because I know that you used to play, I've seen you with a Predator before, with the PD Predator.
That white Predator.
A Chinese Telecaster I've seen you with. Mm-hmm. So how did you get to the PRS?
Well, years ago, this was also stolen, but Joe had a, like one of the, it was a 24, I think. It was one of the lower, in like a custom 24 SE or something like that. But I played that because we just switched guitars around all the time, especially back in the day.
Yeah.
But they contacted me a while back, right when the series, the S2 series came out, and asked if I wanted a free guitar. And I was like,
yes, I would.
So yeah, and I really like it. It's incredibly light. Like, it weighs virtually nothing.
For
but
sure.
It sounds, it's, you know, good sustain and everything.
And I'm pretty sure those are the pickups that came with it.
Yeah. They sound really nice.
Killer, man. And what do you got down here, this one?
This is the baritone, like the SE series.
That one's got a little more heft to it.
Yeah, this one's pretty heavy. It's the SE 277. But yeah, also stock pickups. Although I'm thinking about changing out the bridge, but it's been working just fine all this time. But yeah.
And the same tuning, I assume?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same tuning.
Do you know the scale length on this? I'm just, because they're always kind of different.
Not offhand, no. It's definitely longer than the Vela.
Yeah. Do you find that ever kind of different, or kind of, maybe not jarring is the word, but, you know, just to acclimate between the different scale lengths?
No, because, well, sometimes, but, like, since these are really the only two guitars I use, I'm, like, used to how both of them feel. But, yeah, the string tension's a lot higher on this one.
Yeah.
Like, what I like so much about that is it is really low tension because it's not a baritone, but it just stays in tune anyway, so I can get crazy with bends and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And what strings are you running, strings and gauges?
These are String Joy strings. They're based out of Nashville, out of here. And the gauges, I honestly can't remember. They're pretty heavy, but this is like a 68, I think. But
and what about, you know, you're running the standard?
It's all the same.
Gotcha. Killer, man. What do you got for amps? I know I've seen you, man, with like Fenders. I've seen you with the Boogie. I've seen you with that.
Yeah, I was.
So how'd you get to the Roland and the Boogie?
Well, it's a Boogie Mark IV. I played one years and years ago, and I always wanted one. And right before we recorded Heartless, one of our friends, like, was selling one for a good price for, like, perfect timing. So we got that, and I was using a Fender Twin. It was like a, it's not like a Twin Reverb, it's in a Twin Reverb housing, but as far as I know, I think it was like a...
Maybe
like
Pro Twin?
It's like the Model T clone. But
the Sun when they took over that?
Yeah, but it's still branded as Fender. Or at least that's what someone told me about.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like a Twin Reverb, so I assume. It sounds more like a Sun. But yeah, I was using that for a while and always was interested in jazz chorus just because they're so clean and such a sparkly tone. Great platform for pedals, which is ironic because I'm not actually running any pedals into that one.
Do you use the, because it has the modulation circuits in it, do you use it at all?
I don't have the foot switch for it.
Ah.
But yeah, it sounds great. The chorus is awesome on it.
Was it just an internet buy, or did you just kind of, was it a local store, you just tried it out?
Stopped in, like, it was like a Guitar Center in, like, Ohio or something. But it was just, it was kind of dusty, but it's one of the older ones, and it was, you know, just a lucky find. But yeah, I've been really, it's really good, like the EQ is really, I mean, it's obviously flat, but it puts out whatever you put into it. So I run that one a little brighter, more just, I'd say balanced, and then the Boogie is more towards like bass and mids.
Well, the thing that's like I always loved about your guys' tone in the sound of your guys' band that is different from most doom bands that I hear is there's always a distinct clarity to your guys' tone and what you hear. Like, you guys use the complex chord shape, so like when you ring out a huge chord like that, you want it to hear it, and it is translate on the recordings and live. So I was just curious how you always are trying to manipulate your amps and pedals to make sure you're heavy and you're chugging and slugging, but it's also like still clean and you can hear each note ring out.
Well, it's just we don't use a whole ton of gain. It's like, you know, the EQ is very well thought out. Like, it takes forever to get everything just like dialed in, and then, you know, we'll switch our pedals around and until we find the right balance of pedals and amps. But yeah, it's, you know, when it's that down tuned, you don't have to have a ton of gain to make it sound heavy, like the tuning itself, and then an EQ, you know, and how you play. That's where the heaviness comes from.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you kind of alluded to it. Talk to us about your pedals here.
This is my latest setup, though I change stuff around somewhat frequently. But yeah, this is actually Devin's like Friedman Overdrive, which I put on there a couple of weeks ago and I've been loving it. It's like I think it's supposed to be like a plexi style, like plexi in a box. So running a plexi clone into a boogie is kind of weird. But it works. It's really nice and clean and, but still really heavy.
Is it something you use like quite a bit?
Like, oh yeah, that's my main. That's like the rhythm.
Oh, okay.
And then this is just like a level boost. And then I've got the switcher, which has loops on it, so I don't have to tap dance as much. But yeah, this is just this Nano clone and the Dispatch Master together. And the tone job, just using it as a boost and like EQ. So that's my like main lead sound.
I was gonna ask about that, your main lead sound, but the thing I was really disappointed, is that you don't have the Boss.
I know, dude.
The 50B.
Yeah. I just couldn't justify it anymore. I held on to it for so long, but it's just like, it sucks so much tone out of the loop. Like, I've been fighting with just trying to get the sounds that I wanted for so long.
Yeah.
We were in practice and the dudes were just like, just take it out and let's see what it sounds like. I'm like, all right. And it sounded so much better. I was like,
damn it.
It's sitting in a box.
You at least still
have
it.
I can never sell it. No. Yeah, no. I'll use it in the studio. It's still got like some sounds on there that I love. It's just like, yeah. Yeah. It's cool though. Like I still like the pedal. I just wish there was a way to get like a true, there's an EQ on it, and it's impossible to bypass that, so it colors the tone quite a bit.
So that, because I remember we've talked during the Heartless Cycle for the magazine, was that you use that for your solo tone, so those two pedals there are kind of like,
that's
took
the closest,
place in that.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now in trying to get that sound. Because something about it, like it would just boost the ideal frequencies to make it cut through without having to put a like actual boost on it. But these three together approximate it well enough for the live purposes.
And I don't want the Boss fans out there to think that I was dogging them.
No.
Because it was a Boss thing, I was laughing because it was a bass unit. Use the bass specific unit for your guitar setup, and I always thought that cracked
use
me
it,
up.
I've used that thing for like 10 years.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny when you told me that. I'm like, dude, why are you using the bass one? They make guitar ones.
So many people bought those. They're like, so that's your like main thing? I'm like, yeah. It's like, but please just don't buy one. You're not going to like it. So my friends would like buy them and be like, I don't like this. You can have it. It's like, yes.
Just another one.
I love it. It just like, I don't know. It was giving me some problems. Maybe if I can figure out a way to get it back on my board one day, maybe I will.
I feel like you should just have a board of those, like four of those.
Yeah. Why not?
Just find out each of its own, like it is into idiosyncrasies and then use it to that benefit.
Dude, maybe. Just run one straight into the board and not have to carry an amp around ever again.
Tone, man, yeah. It'd be tone. Yeah. What else you got on the board there, finishing it out?
This is I think it's LDP was the brand. I found this at a sadly now defunct music store in North Little Rock, but it's like a Mutron, like Phasor clone.
Oh, cool.
Thing, like the 70s.
Where do you use that in, through the set or the songs?
It's in Dancing in Madness and just kind of various places. Yeah. I also use it in lieu of a wah sometimes, just set it really low and just kind of have it sweep.
Yeah.
But and then the last one is, or I've got the Caroline, I'm not sure how it's exactly said. Looks Meteor.
Yeah.
Meteor.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah,
Meteor.
Yeah. But it's like a kind of lo-fi reverb. It's got a gain like setting on here so you can like sort of distort the tails on it. It's real nice.
I love that you guys are so deep into reverb.
Oh yeah.
It adds so much elements to your guys' music that makes it stand out than other doom or metal bands.
Obsessed with just modulation in general, like anything that makes it sound.
Are you like a slow dive fan?
Oh yeah.
Okay, then there it makes sense.
Yeah.
Reverb for days.
It's old Alesis Quadriverb. You can get those for like $40 now.
I think that's what you need to do. Sound. That,
yeah,
and the
real
Boss 50B.
Oh yeah.
Those will be your two things. And the last one is the Avalanche Run.
Yep. Earthquake or Avalanche Run, which is essentially the Dispatch Master, but more in depth. And that's what I'll do often is just like the first lead is my kind of basic sound, and then I'll often use the Avalanche Run with a longer time division to like space it out a bit more and just run them together. But yeah, those are just going into the Mesa, and then the JC120 is just getting distortion.
Ah. Killer, man. I guess the last question I have for you would be, what is the Godzilla crushing part in the solo of like Cruel Road? Like, what do you use to cover that?
That was two fully different setups. Like, the one on the right and one on the left, like, mm-hmm. It's one solo, but it was two different takes, and we chopped
it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So
do you play that song live and have to recreate it with what your setup is
here? We've never played that song live. We've played it in practice several times. If I was going to do it, I'd probably do, I don't know, I've tried it a few different ways.
I'm asking you to tell me how you would do that, and it's a song you never played.
Well, on the record, it's, like, played through completely different amps and pedal chains, so, like, each one is... That's why the tones are so different.
That's what makes it an awesome headphone song. Mm. It like just gets all swirly.
Yeah. Yeah, we get really, I mean, this is a pretty simple, just like functional live rig, but like in the studio and at other times on my board too, it's been a lot crazier than this, but this works consistently and like with enough like combinations of different chains, like loops on there, you can get any sound I'd really need in a live set.
Killer, Brett. Dude, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.